How's that retirement piggy bank looking? A good chunk of us, if we're being totally honest, would answer, not so good. A recent survey by Bankrate.com finds one-third, 36% of Americans have nothing saved for retirement. Detroit News personal finance writer Brian O'Connor is here. Brian, does this surprise you?
It doesn't when you consider everything that people have been through in the last several years. A lot of people wound up having to raid their retirements. A lot of people got nervous and took their money out of retirement accounts when the stock market fell rather than try and ride it back up. And a lot of people just are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck with, you know, wages not keeping pace with inflation, much less productivity, and then things like increased health costs that are passed on to employees and reduced workers' hours. And even here in Michigan, we have a lot of cases where, you know, jobs have come back, but they're not paying what they used to. Of the 2-point-some-odd million jobs that have been added, there are low-wage jobs in the country, while we lost about 1.5 million middle- and high-income jobs. So an awful lot of people are just having trouble justifying in their mind putting away that money that they might not touch for 40 years.
Yeah, a lot of pressures on people. When I looked at the survey, I guess I could kind of get it to when I read that 18 to 29-year-olds are least likely to have anything saved for retirement. That makes sense in a way because you're trying to pay off student loans or set up a household or get your business launched. So we see 69% of those younger Americans have nothing put away. But I have to ask you, what of the 14% of people aged 65 or older with no retirement savings?
Well, those people are going to be, you know, in a pretty tight spot. A lot of times you'll find that that's a case where people have had, you know, one of the big drivers of perhaps a personal financial crisis or even a bankruptcy. They've had a divorce, they've had a medical issue or something like that that is a major financial setback. And, you know, without a pension, they may not have anything set aside for their own savings, or they may have a little bit of a pension. You know, maybe it got phased out in the 90s, and so they'll get a small amount, but they haven't been able to replace that with their own personal savings in an IRA or something like that. And it's going to be a serious, serious problem.
What do you see as the consequences? First of all, we'll start with the individual and family members.
Well, you wind up with a lot of situations where people are going to retire in just, you know, dire straits. And they may have to lean on adult children to take care of them or to at least bolster them financially. You know, they can try to subsist on Social Security, but that can be pretty meager. Or you'll find that people are just planning on working longer, which is great as long as you stay healthy enough to work.
You can't count on that.
No, and, you know, there's also a lot of subtle issues. You know, if you have lost your job in your 50s, it's hard to land a new one. So it's very difficult, you know, to kind of bridge that employment gap. And it's hard for people, you know, to justify, well, I can't touch my nest egg when they have no money coming in right now. So, I mean, we have a lot of people who've been really, you know, kind of permanently put behind the eight ball by this, you know, financial crisis that we've all gone through. And it's starting to show the huge risk that we have of going to this do-it-yourself retirement. Most people are lousy financial investment planners when it comes to dealing with their own accounts. A lot of people don't understand what's at stake. And even people who do have retirement accounts, you know, there's a significant number of people who are having to borrow from their 401k plans, for instance, to get by and things. And then you had people during the recession who may have taken money out of retirement accounts to try and do things like save a home from foreclosure, which is a really, really bad idea because unless you've, you know, found another job and you have the income to keep paying on that house, if you lose it to foreclosure later down the road, you've already sunk those retirement assets into them, and those retirement assets could have been protected in bankruptcy.
Boy, that's grim. It really does seem grim. And I'm wondering, can you put this into some historical context for us, Brian? Is this as bad as it's ever been, or is there some precedent for things being, you know, this stressed?
Well, I mean, before Social Security, you know, we like to think that, you know, there was a golden age after World War II when, you know, everybody got a full pension. And that might be an easy thing to do in Michigan, where we had, you know, very strong labor unions. But even then, it was only a little more than, I don't even think it was half of the people in the country had pensions. You know, before the advent of Social Security, you know, it was basically you moved in with your family or the family moved in with you. And it was just kind of a family support was sort of the only asset you have or you saved. Now, during better times, we've also had the situation where retirees would be able to sort of cash out their home equity. You sell the big family home and you move to the condo in Florida or Arizona, and now you've captured a big chunk of that home equity as a significant retirement asset. But if you've lost your home or if your home has lost a significant amount of value, you definitely do not have that working in your favor anymore either. But pensions have definitely been reduced. We're seeing in the Detroit bankruptcy how problematic pensions can be. And, you know, I don't think it's any surprise that the judge in this case is trying to protect the pensioners because, you know, a lot of these people are already out of work. They're retired or they're widows or widowers, and they don't really have the ability to go back and make plans and change their expectations. Even when you do have a pension, you can't always tell that it's really going to be there, or at least not in a reduced capacity.
So we really are seeing the Detroit story is just one of many where we're seeing the consequences of all of this on our government and our economy.
And look at all the major corporations that have either had to abandon their pension plans or reduce them. Now, we have some folks in pension plans at Ford and GM who were cashed out of those plans, but they received an annuity or a lump sum, so they were still made whole when they got out of it. And that can be, you know, a significant asset for retirement, so they're in good shape. But you can see that all these plans, basically what it comes down to is when it comes to retirement security, we're in a situation that's just like healthcare. We wound up with this whole sort of employer-based system that becomes too expensive and too unwieldy, and it's too easy for a corporation or employer to say, well, we can't be competitive, we can't afford this. You know, people in the low labor cost countries don't give their employees pensions, and so everybody winds up being left high and dry.
So what can be done really starting today if you're in this situation, regardless whether you're in the 18 to 29-year-old set or the 65 and up set? What can be done?
Well, the little bit of silver lining in all of this has been over the past few years, there's been a significant move among corporations that have 401k plans for those providers to automatically enroll new employees in a 401k plan. So it's basically you start the job, and after 30 days on the job, a 401k deduction automatically kicks in. It usually goes to some kind of low-yielding but very conservative and safe investment, and it gets people started, so they've got something. The bad news on that is that those plans usually start putting about 2% in, and it'll stay at 2% unless the worker either adds more to it or they can always opt out, in which case they've got nothing. So that's been a trend in 401k plans that's at least getting people started. I call it kind of like training wheels for retirement saving, because what you hope is that they see that little bit of money building up when they get their quarterly statements, and you kind of want that light bulb to go off. You know, the big thing that retirement and financial planners always point out is that, you know, if you start in your 20s, you don't have to save nearly as much as if you start in your 40s or 50s, which is when most people start thinking about retirement. But for most people, if you've got a 401k or a similar plan, because there are similar style plans for state employees and teachers and government workers, you know, try to get up to the match. If your employer offers a match, that's free money. Now, I've talked to people who have delayed opening a 401k because they couldn't decide which mutual funds to choose or something like that. And I said, look, it doesn't matter. You know, you can choose the Outer Slobovian Yak Futures Fund. It doesn't matter. You're getting a 50% return on your money. In our plan at the Detroit News, you know, my employer matches 50% of what I put in up to 4%. So on that money, I'm getting already a 50% return, which is better than any year in the stock market. And it's better to just get that and then figure out later, well, let me talk to somebody or do some research or go online and figure out the best investments for this. The most important thing is that people should start. And that 2% that we see in the automatic enrollment plans, you know, anybody can do that for themselves. I mean, 2% is not a heck of a lot that you're going to miss. And if your employer doesn't offer a match on your 401k, then you're much better off just opening up your own individual retirement plan and automatically having, you know, 2% taken out. And the good part is that that's tax-free, whether it's in a 401k or an IRA. So your paycheck doesn't really shrink by the 2% because you're not being taxed on that amount. And that's the best thing people can do is just start with a small amount and then increase it regularly each year by another 2% until you've got to at least 10. Or when you get a raise or change jobs, you know, put half of your new raise or whatever into that account and just kind of know that 40 years, you know, to a 20-year-old trying to tell them that they're not going to see this money, you know, they're like, well, yeah, I'll start it next year. But, you know, tomorrow does come.
And it comes more quickly than anybody expects.
Yeah, well, yes, it does. It does. Speaking as a not 20-year-old, I can tell you. But that's the best thing that people can do, and they're probably not going to miss it. And, of course, I wrote a whole book about how people can find ways to sort of painlessly save money in their budgets. And, you know, one of the things should be to make sure you've got something going towards retirement. You know, the big problem, especially for young workers, is, like you say, they're starting out, they're making the least amount of money they're probably going to make in their lives. They're paying off student loans. They don't have a lot of savings. And saying, oh, we're going to take $50 out of your paycheck that you can use in 2060, you know, it just really sounds like a bad idea.
Until it gets to be 2060 and you sure wish you'd done it.
Yeah, so you get that statement in 2050 and you realize, oh, my God. Retirement planning is a big, huge, scary thing. There's a lot of retirement advice and calculators out there on the web where you say, okay, I make this now, and these are my expenses, and so on and so forth, and what do I need for retirement? And it's going to return this huge, scary number where you're going to look at it and go, I need $2.5 million? And people throw up their hands and think, I can't get there. What's the use? And they don't save. Some recent studies have found that most people don't really spend that much in retirement. Initially, when they retire, they'll do things like buy a new car or a set of golf clubs, or they move to the condo in Florida or whatever, and maybe they'll travel and, you know, do whatever you think you're going to do in all those cute retirement commercials that you see on TV. But the reality is that after a certain point, people aren't all that keen to go out and about and take up mountain climbing or whatever the commercials show, and so they don't really spend that much. The big question there is things like healthcare spending, which we're going to hope is being addressed by the Affordable Care Act and some other things.
Sure. Big challenges and lots to think about. Detroit News personal finance writer Brian O'Connor, thanks for the retirement advice and reminding everybody how fast time flies. Thanks, Brian.
Pleasure to be here.
All right.